tough talking Greg Sankey from the SEC spring meetings, where he's saying what I think that Ross Bjork would say. I think he's saying what Tony Petitti would say from the Big Ten. I think we're in the final days of the NCAA, and while you guys are going to say, hey, that's a good thing, I think they're going to create another NCAA that's just going to have a lot more teeth, that's probably going to be able to get around the antitrust laws. And to talk about all that, we welcome in Dan Wetzel from ESPN. He was one of the hosts of the greatest college sports podcast I ever heard, College Football Inquirer. Still a great man, still thorough, and he still joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Dan, how the hell are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Lima gave me your number, and I was gonna wish you congratulations on your big move to ESPN, and then I decided not to. Sorry.
That's okay. I felt the love and spirit, Ken. I felt the love and spirit.
You should. I mean,
we've been with you since day one.
Yes, we have.
Day one. They really have. Yes, thank you. It was really these appearances that have launched my career through the years.
Dan Wetzel joining us here.
I owe it all to you guys.
You're very welcome, Dan. Dan Wetzel joining us here on the show. Obviously, you've covered all this in great detail here. What is the future of the college football playoff? Because I think Greg Sankey and the SEC and the Big Ten, I think they're going to get what they want, and they're going to probably get of 16 teams, it'll be a 16-team playoff, and I think they'll probably get, dare I say, 12 of those spots, and then what? Notre Dame, and so three spots go up to the other two P4s, and maybe one from the group of five, but probably not?
Well, yeah, so there's two options here with 16 teams, which, you know, we only had 1 year of 12, and we're already expanding it, which is classic. I thought it went pretty well. I thought it was a good playoff. I don't think we need to go past 12. I think we had a pretty good deal last year. I think you're getting into more and more flawed teams, but these guys' jobs are to, you know, take care of their teams. And the fact that Alabama did not make the playoff last year and Indiana did remains, or SMU, whichever one you want to pick as their thing, has really rankled people in the SEC. They are conveniently forgetting that Alabama lost to both 6-6 Oklahoma and 6-6 Vanderbilt. And this is hardly like one of these classic Nick Saban teams, but whatever. So we're going to get 16. It seems inevitable. How that will look. Now, there's been all this talk of four automatic bids from each of those two leagues. I will say yesterday, Sankey and the SEC was talking far more positively about simply having a 16-team tournament where you have five conference champs, the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, and then a group of five, and then you have 11 at-large bids. I find that much preferable to multiple automatic bids per league. There's even this, they had one proposal going with, like, if you have a 16 team, wouldn't you just play like one play 16, two plays 15? They had this convoluted double bye system. Everything is just geared to trying to protect the SEC and the Big Ten. My thing is, they don't need protecting. They're going to get all these, they're going to get the majority of the bids every year because they have the majority of the best teams. So just play it out, make it simple for people to understand. Hey, you win your conference, you get in, everyone else is up for this at large that takes care of Notre Dame and things like that. So actually there was a pretty good switch in tone yesterday of the SEC's interest in what they're calling 5 plus 11, opposed to these automatic bid things. I think whatever the SEC decides, the Big Ten will probably go along with. But those two are definitely partners in hashing this out right now.
Just real quick, you said this convoluted system where there might be double buys. Isn't that just to protect another, what has been a cash cow in the past, which is the conference championship, and they want to make that something that never goes away, despite the fact that we don't need it anymore?
Yeah, that's part of it. The conference championship game, which again, I would get rid of those and get the season to be shorter and take that week and use it to say maybe play Army Navy then and get on with getting more games in December and try to like have the semifinals on New Year's Day or something like that instead of the quarterfinals. but that we're deep in the weeds. But yeah, they make a lot of money off this, particularly the SEC championship game. The Big Ten one has done pretty well, but it's rarely been competitive. The SEC championship game is the first championship game. It's been a big thing. But when both teams are still making the playoffs, what's the point? So that is one, the seeding has to be the point is really it. So they're trying to do things like that, but it's like it reminds me of my golf game by the end of the year where like the fix is got a fix. And then there's another fix. It's like your elbow. And then you got to keep showing, get your weight, you know, and you're just trying everything. And at the end, you're just slicing it all over. They've got so many little riders on this stuff and all these things. Just go simple, right? Just hit it straight down the middle. 5 and 11, that'll be good. I would prefer 12. I would prefer 5 and 7, but money talks at the end of the day. Everything about this is always going to be about, pretty much going to be about money.
Oh, we're going to go deeper into the weeds here. Dan Wetzel joining us on the show. What's the chances we get this like CSC situation headed where it sounds like it would just replace the NCAA, except that we would find ways to, not we, I'm not part of it, but they would find ways to get around antitrust laws and kind of put college football with NIL or something like it back to the way college football used to be?
Well, they would like something like that. Yeah, it's everybody hates the NCAA until you realize you have to have something. Sort of like the NCAA. First, somebody's got to run the championships.
Someone's got to be the bad guy. Yeah,
and someone's got to be the bad guy. And what they've actually proposed, which I find hysterical, that it's going to be even less popular, is a tougher bad guy. So if you're accused of these, if you're accused of violations, there's no way to really fight back, and you can't sue. And this, like that, this is they're going to get sued every single which way. Particularly now that you have private businesses and private businessmen and women and boosters directly involved with the athletes. Like before, the NCAA is like, well, you can't really talk to the athlete, right? Now it's like, oh, I can give them $1 million, and the NCAA says, well, were supposed to give them $700,000. That was their value. So you're now in trouble, and your name's getting raked through the media and all that. And you're like, hey, man, I didn't do it. Like they're gonna get. This is probably not going to end well, but that's what they're trying, is to put the toothpaste back in the tube on some of this stuff with a new NCAA. So there's a lot of talk that we're gonna end the NCAA, we're gonna quit the NCAA. The next thing you've got is just the NCAA with a different name. It's just a kind of a way to share less money. I'm always dubious that this will actually get done. I don't know that there's the ability, and particularly political ability. I mean, you guys tell me, but like obviously in Ohio State is by far and away the most popular team, the most powerful team. Their interests are most important. But you think about all of the, if they tried to break away, think of all of the representatives, the state senators, the interests of all the other schools, right? There's 6 MAC schools. There's Cincinnati. There's like Dayton and Xavier and Cleveland State, different schools that are also in Division I that would lose out if this whole thing crumbled. I don't know that you're going to be able to pull that off in every state in the country where the state legislature and your state senators and everything are just going to be like, yeah, cool, Ohio State, do whatever you want, and you can just try to just leave everybody else behind and decimate everyone. That's going to be a harder fight, and I don't know. Maybe it could. You think that would succeed in Ohio? I don't know. But is it going to succeed in every single one of these states? That one I really have questions, because every state's like that.
All right, Dan Wetzel joining us from ESPN. Obviously, there has been a push from the larger stakeholders, especially the Power Four as it stands now, to lobby for NIL legislation. We've heard some of the key figures in college football, past and present, talk about this. And obviously you've got people, you know, that are on Capitol Hill that have been outspoken about this. And they've even pushed the president to talk about this. Do you think this happens? And can you put the toothpaste back in the bottle?
I've been skeptical of this all along because there's multiple interests. Like, I get old football coaches and ADs, they want to go back to the system of, scholarships and how it used to be. There's other schools that are quite happy with the new system where you can not just out of like some sense of, hey, the players deserve money, but that it equals the competitive balance. It flattens the competitive balance. I don't think it's a secret that we've started seeing Northern teams do even better than before in college football since NIL came in, right? Ohio State was the only school that could potentially compete with SEC teams, Southern teams. And they won one title. Now we've seen Michigan win it. We've seen Ohio State win it. We've seen Notre Dame make a final. We saw Washington make a final. We saw TCU make a final. Penn State's probably preseason number one or number two. It might be their team. The money balance there is even things out just in that. Now, these are not small operations. I'm going to tell you, Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan are small things, but Michigan and Penn State were non-competitive at a national level until NIL came along. So it's changed the game. It's really not as I get that if you were one of the three or four teams that could compete for a national title, you don't like this, you make a lot of noise. But there's a lot of schools going, hey, this isn't bad at all. Notre Dame particularly saying, oh, we have money. What we don't have is, a great location surrounded by tons of talent or this or that. So you have that. You have the Sherman Antitrust Act, which, every time you hear a college football coach talk about how they can solve their quote-unquote problem here, none of them have ever heard of the Sherman Antitrust Act. But the Supreme Court most certainly has. It's really hard to get all the politicians in favor of things where you're trying to say, hey, this 19-year-old doesn't deserve to have the right to make money legally. Yeah, he does. And so there's a lot there where it's very hard to get it back in. Now, they have direct revenue share now that certainly might help, cut down on just the big payments, I guess, that seem to upset some of the parties here. But I find a lot of it is just a lot of complaining. I mean, they'll say things like, oh, you can't build a team when you're paying the players. Like, I thought Ohio State had one heck of a team, not just talent, but like a real togetherness. If Ohio State last year's team was only about money, if those guys were there playing simply because that's what they were getting the most money, they would have crumbled after the Michigan loss. They just would have quit. And then everyone started preparing for the draft. Instead, they got more together and tougher and more of a brotherhood and go out and win the national title. And I think the same thing with Michigan the year before. I don't see these like, we can't have a team or we don't have great football or it's not exciting because some of these guys are getting paid. I don't see it. So I think there's a lot of noise about how to fix the system. But when you get down into the weeds, it's a lot harder. There are things I think everybody understands you don't really like. Two transfer portals, there's a lack of, contracts, things like that that could potentially get fixed. But I don't see it going backwards in any reasonable way, nor should it.
Dan, let's get to the most serious parts of our conversation today. Will you be joining forces with other seasoned journalists in going after North Carolina to pour over some of their secret emails regarding Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson?
Well, there's certainly a lot of journalists trying to go through. This is, trying to find any little, could we get an emoji? Could we get a heart emoji or something in these? I'll tell you what, I am a believer that this is, this is fantastic content. I'm sure you guys haven't had any enjoyment out of it or any laughs. I'm very interested in the Belichick thing. And when I talk to people at North Carolina and on a staff and different people around, for all the Jordan Hudson, kind of weirdness, they still say he's there at like 5:30 in the morning, all fired up for football. So I still think it's Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick. Whether he can win in North Carolina, I don't know, but I don't think he's spending that much time with his girlfriend.
I'd jump out of bed too if I had something to, you know, get me excited in life. I mean, I get up at 4:30. I got a great wife. I can understand Bill Belichick here.
About to say, boy, you really just stepped in it there.
No comment. No, yeah. He did kind of rally there.
He did rally. He did. Just for a second, I go, oh, God.
He did rally, yeah.
Dan, find Dan on Twitter. At Dan Wetzel on X, on Twitter, whatever. Dan Wetzel,
thank
ESPN.
You,
Dan, thank you. Dan Wetzel on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Outstanding from him.